Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Bill Zarin, the pride of Lake Park, Iowa. He's a Morningside College graduate, and he spent quite a few years working here in town for the Sioux City Journal before moving to West Des Moines, where he now lives. But for our purposes, he's out with his fifth novel. This one is called Traffic, and it continues the saga of Tom Kingman, the Sioux City journalist, and Hillary Reed, a local prosecutor, as they try to unravel the disappearance of a teenage girl in a sex trafficking ring operating in Woodbury County. Bill, your previous four novels all dealt with homicide, which is obviously a bad thing. This time around, though, you've dove into the world of sex trafficking. How do you put your creative mind in that dark place?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because trafficking has been in the news a lot, and that combined with the fact that I was looking for a way to do something in the rural area that wasn't necessarily farm-connected, and for some reason those two things aligned, and that's what came out.
Well, I guess thinking about it, yeah, you can be in the rural area, and you're either dealing with another murder or a meth, right?
Yeah, right. I wanted to, or cattle wrestling or something. That crossed my mind as well, but this seemed to be more something people would be interested in.
So a lot of this book takes place in Smithland. It's in the far southern reaches of Woodbury County, and I think most people in Sioux City have probably never even been to Smithland. And I know you're a guy that likes to take in the sights and smells and sounds of your locations. What did you do in Smithland to give you an idea for the lay of this land?
Yeah, I had never been to Smithland either. I knew where I was, of course, from looking at the map, but I picked it because I wanted a town that was really as far from Sioux City as possible for a couple of different reasons, and then I wanted it to be in the Les Hills, so I just kind of rode out there and found the area that I liked, and I kind of scouted it. I went out in the summer, and I drove around quite a while in that area, and I got out and looked around and tried to make some notes, so I scouted it pretty heavily.
Did you have any of the book written already by the time you went to Smithland?
I had the outline. And I had looked on, like, Google Maps to find where the hills were and where a plausible setting would be. And that's kind of how I narrowed it down to Smithland before I went out there.
Your books are all set around the Sioux City area. Last book, Tipsy House, was set up at the Iowa Great Lakes, and you set one in Council Bluffs, Paper Trail. But what is it about this area of the state that you have such a love for that you feel the need to write a love letter in the form of a novel every year?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm from Western Iowa, Lake Park, which is up by Okoboji. And I went to college at Morningside. I worked in Sioux City. I like Sioux City a lot. Met my wife there. She's from Western Iowa. And I just don't think Western Iowa gets as much credit or recognition as it should, especially down here in Des Moines, which I always say faces east. So I'm happy to bring some attention to Western Iowa, and it's a unique setting. I mean, how many books are you going to read that set in Western Iowa or Sioux City? So that kind of gives me a differentiator as well.
Well, the protagonist, Tom Kingman and Hillary Reed, a journalist and a prosecutor, I think that's what really makes this series go, is that's such an unlikely protagonist, and I don't know of another book series that does that, but they're both damaged people to a certain extent. They've got their own personal demons, but they're ultimately good people. Do they, in your mind, represent the ideal prosecutor and the ideal local journalist?
I wouldn't go ideal. Like you said, they both have issues, and one of the things I work on is try to give them enough warts to make them interesting but not, you know, unappealing. I always tell people that Tom Kingman is the journalist who I wish I had been, but I wasn't, because he's very, you know, ballsy and brave, and he'll do whatever it takes, and he does a lot of things that maybe real journalists probably couldn't get away with. And Hillary is very buttoned up, almost to a fault at points, and she's kind of an amalgam of a bunch of female attorneys that I worked around when I was at the paper. So, yeah, you're right. There aren't too many newspaper reporter protagonists out there as well, and that kind of sets it a bit apart, and I wanted a sort of opposite attract relationship, so I think I got that with Tom and Hillary.
I was thinking about that as I read the book, how many newspaper protagonists in a series. The only one I could come up with was Fletch.
There's another one that I can't recall the author name, but she has a female reporter that's set in Los Angeles. But it's hard to find. I've Googled a lot of times before I even started to see if, you know, like, there's some I could read, get some ideas for, but they're just not out there.
Well, the newspaper Tom works for in the book, the Sioux City Sentinel Leader, it's an independently owned newspaper, and most of the newspapers in a town the size of Sioux City are no longer owned by local investors. I take it that independence of newspapers is something very near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, it is. I mean, today's world where the corporate chains are buying up and a lot of small papers are going out of business, and it's just getting harder and harder to be independent. And I think back in the heyday of journalism was when these papers were independent and it was less concentrated ownership. So yeah, that's sadly a vanishing thing, but it's something that I wanted to preserve, at least in fiction.
When you wrote for the Journal, I think the newspaper had long ago been sold to a corporate owner. How much independence did you have as a journalist here locally 25 or so years ago?
I was very, very pleased with how much independence we had. We were owned by Hagedone, I think the chain was, and they sold to Lee right after I left. And I never got any sort of pressure or anything even remotely suggesting we couldn't do what we wanted to do. So we had quite a bit of autonomy and freedom there.
I'm talking with Bill Zarin about his latest novel, Traffic. It's the latest in the Kingman and Reed series. And there's, you know, for the second half of this interview, aim your cars towards Sioux City Gifts over at George Lindblad's place in the 1900 block of Pearson. Go pick up. He's got autographed copies there for sale. We'll mention it again at the end. But, Bill, you're obviously a consumer of newspapers these days, and or at least online. Having worked in the industry, do you read news differently than a layperson would who's never worked in the industry by finding things in a story, saying, oh, I could see what the reporter was trying to do here, he wanted to go further but couldn't, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think that one of the biggest complaints I have about today, not all newspapers represent journalists, but a lot of them are, I just find them to be a little bit verbose. They don't get to the point soon enough for me. And I'm a headline reader, and if the headline is something that I'm interested in, I'll give it a shot. But I want to know right away what's going on, and I'm a little more critical, I guess, than some people probably are.
Well, speaking of getting to the point, your books move very quickly. This took me about 2 hours to read your book, and how much do you cut out before the final printing just to tighten it up like you have it in the final version?
Usually the first draft is, I try to aim for between 85,000 and 90,000 words in the final, and the first draft is usually at the top end of that, maybe 92 or so, and so I'll probably cut it out 4,000 or 5,000 from the first draft before it's all said and done.
Okay, so you're editing in your mind as you write then, right?
No, exactly. A little bit, but usually I'll draft and then I'll come back. I go over it many times, so it takes maybe 45 days to write, and then it takes like a year to edit. So it's very cut it down from what you start with. In some places I move stuff around, I'll build it up here, I'll cut it down there. So it's kind of like getting the superstructure up, and then you work on the finished carpentry, so to speak.
So wait a minute, you said it takes 45 days to write a book?
Yeah, Traffic I wrote in about 45 days, yeah.
You must write every day, right?
Yeah, I shoot for like a chapter a day, and there's 34 chapters usually. A chapter is about 2,000 to 3,000 words, so it's about 2,500 words a day.
I mean, that's a hell of a pace. That's faster than a lot of people take to write a book. I know I talked to an author last week, and he told me he wrote it very fast, and he described that as 6 months. So 45 days is unbelievable. But there's a B story in this book. It involves a local liquor distributor and some type of scam going on, and I don't want to give away anything. But are you getting more comfortable as a novelist now that you can include an interesting B story without fear of losing the reader?
That's always a challenge and something I try to do. And yeah, I think I'm more comfortable at it now. But I always try to have the main story and then at least one subplot or two, maybe even, that you can kind of use the subplot to break up the action of the main. It's kind of a nice thing to use for pacing purposes. It's kind of a two-for-one, right, for readers. So I try to do that on purpose. And the trick is that you try to make them work together so it's seamless for readers, or they're, you know, you don't go away from the main plot too long and they forget. And so that's something I have to work on in the drafting process.
If you're writing so much so quickly, you got to be writing all over the place, or do you write in one specific location each time?
Yeah, I usually write in my downstairs in my office. Early morning is the best time for me to draft. So, but I'll do it. I'll write various places. I have a laptop, so I just go wherever I want to go. But it's usually down in the basement in the office.
One of the things that is unique about your books too, and especially since I live in this area, is that you pick out real locations. And it seems like if something bad happens at a location, you use a fake location. But if something good happens there, you use a real location. Why is that important to you to get the realism right?
I personally like to read books that are set in places I'm familiar with, and it's kind of cool to recognize landmarks and that sort of thing. You can, it helps kind of make it, bring it to life a little bit. And I've gotten a ton of people that have said that they enjoy having the Sergeant Floyd Monument or whatever it is in the book, so they can, it's kind of fun to see that part of their world in a novel. So that's kind of why I do it. Everything's happy and fun at the real places, and if it's something bad, it's a made-up place.
You have a full-time job, so you don't write full-time, but 5 novels in now, is that how you define yourself now, as if you were to, somebody ask you, what do you do? Well, I'm a novelist. Are you there yet?
I don't say novelist, I say writer. So every time, what do you do? I'm a writer. And they look at me sort of crooked because there's a lot of different writing. So then I tell them I write marketing copy and novels. But I've always said my occupation is writer ever since I left journalism. And back then I told people I was a newspaper reporter. So I like to think that I'm very versatile. I can do a lot of stuff. I can write novels. I can write basically, I've written basically anything you can think of. So, yeah, I'm a writer.
You know, before you got into novel writing, what type of novels were you reading when you first started reading novels?
Oh, it's always been mysteries. I'm a big fan of P.D. James, and I like a lot of the mysteries that are very like mine. They're easy to read, and they're fast-paced, and they're not really self-conscious as far as what kind of language is used. They're not trying to impress me. They're just trying to keep me going and entertain me. So, yeah, it's always been novels with me, and I've read all of Sherlock Holmes mysteries and some of the older stuff. I'm a big fan of Charles Dickens. I've read a lot of his stuff, which can be challenging. So I know it's always been a mystery fan for me.
Between writing and editing, though, do you get to read as much as you'd like anymore?
No, I was just thinking about that the other day. I feel better and I'm happier and all that thing when I'm reading, but it's easy to put it off between day job and novels and regular stuff at home and husband and father, all that stuff kind of crowds out the reading, so I have to try to make a conscious effort to keep a book going.
And then when you pick up a book, do you think you're almost wasting time that you could be either writing or editing?
Yeah, that's an unfortunate mindset. I'm afraid I'm a victim of that too. People don't read because they don't think they have time, so I try to make time for it because there's a benefit in it, and it's besides being an enjoyable pastime, it's edifying, and it gives me ideas for my books, and I see what other people are doing.
All right, well, this book is called Traffic. It's the 5th in the Kingman and Reed series by Bill Zarin. He's got 4 previous books out there. First one was Officer Involved, the second one was Paper Trail, the third one was Avenging Angel, and the fourth one was Tipsy House. And including Traffic, they are all available at the Sioux City Gifts. That's George Lindblad's place over in the 1900 block of Pierce Street. Go pick up an autographed copy. You can also get it on Amazon, and you can go to your website and get autographed copies as well if you're into that stuff, ordering online, right, Bill?
That's right. I really appreciate George doing offering those books for me. That's great to have somebody in town to refer them to. So go down there and get your copy at the Lindblad store at Sioux City Gifts.
And it's BillZahren.com, ZAHREN.com on the web. Bill, just an excellent offering from you. I look forward every year to when your new books come out, and I'm sure we'll be looking forward to the next one in a year or so, but great job on this one.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate you getting the word out, and it's always great to interview talking to you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, KSCJ.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. 'Cause we're rolling in hell that traffic.